So, we got something different this morning.
What different?
Well, it's not every day that we get to celebrate 43 years as a church. Right? The first Sunday in January is the anniversary of Blue Mountain Community Church, January 4th, 1981. And so we wanted to celebrate that and take the time to just, you know, share with you as a family, you know, what congratulations on sticking with the journey for all those years. So whether it's your first Sunday or you've been here for all 43, anybody else here all 43?
There's Rayanne.
Rayanne, Donnie.
Yay,
yep,
Rayanne.
Absolutely. Yep, congratulations.
Donna's pretty close, right, Donna?
42.
Okay. Nice.
Very good. Yep, I knew there was a few that were been along for it. So we wanted to just talk about, what that, celebrate that. And really, you know, we had this discussion, the four of us, we were talking, and I felt the Lord put a message on my heart a few weeks ago. And, you know, this message really does actually kind of go along with the last few messages that we've had here. Of course, we missed the snow day last week, but, you know, we ended the month of December as we go through the Gospel of John talking about how Jesus is the light of the world. And because he is the light and because of what he has done, that he calls us and equips us to be the light of the world, to be his representatives in the world. And then as we our goal moving forward, you know, in 2024, we look back on the past year and what did God do? And there was a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of peaks and valleys, but God is the constant through them all, and God does the unexpected in our lives. And when he does the unexpected, it's a result of his love for us and his will and his grace for us, because he, as a good God all the time, not only gives us what we want, the desires of our heart, but he also gives us that which we don't even know that we need, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. And so he brings things and he orchestrates things in our lives so that we can grow and become more and more like him. And that process is, we're going to read here, we're just going to start off with Proverbs 4:18. Let's read Proverbs 4:18 nice and loud together. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. That's our goal as human beings, as Christians, those who believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if you love me, then you'll be obedient, you'll do what I say, is to grow brighter and brighter. And so our hope and our prayer for 2024, what's in store for 2024, is that all of us would grow brighter and brighter like the noonday sun, right? And that's the goal. So as a result of those messages, I had a conversation with Rick in the men's room a few weeks ago, and I can't tell you how many God ideas show up in the bathroom. I don't know why that is, but it seems to be the way things go sometimes. So in between services, I went in the restroom there, and I'll spare you the gory details, okay? But I used the facility there, and then when I was done, I went over and grabbed some paper towels, and I wiped down the urinal. And as I was doing that, Rick walked in. And he happened to see me doing that, and he said, "Oh, did it need a little attention there?" And I said,
"Your aim wasn't too good, huh?"
That's not what you said. No, no, I will vigorously defend that.
Are you on? Is he on? I don't think. Are you on?
Never mind.
Yep, okay, he's good.
I'm a pretty good shot, you know. So anyway,
TMI.
This is what happens when we don't have a script.
Yeah, his mic.
God's
is
probably
on
saving
down
us
here.
From that.
Maybe we should. His mic is on, but
maybe we should stop and check mics.
Yeah.
Green light says it's on, so we'll keep testing. Anyway,
Lloyd's looking for you.
No.
I believe that's.
I'm glad it's not.
Yeah. I believe the Lord was protecting us.
Did you all
us.
Hear that, what Lloyd said?
It was the voice of the Lloyd. The voice of the Lloyd.
Voice
right?
of the Lloyd. Where were we?
At the urinal.
At the urinal. Thank you for bringing us back on track. And so anyway, regardless of what Rick said or what he thought he said or what I thought I heard, my takeaway, my response to it was, well, I'm just trying to leave it better than I found it. But and I know then what Rick said was, wow, that's pretty much the approach for life, isn't it? That's the way it should be. And right then and there, I felt the Lord speak to my heart and say, that's the message we needed to bring. And especially as we celebrate 43 years as a church, and then looking ahead to the next year, the next 43 and beyond, you know, we had this discussion about what is it, what are, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into a church growing, being established, growing, and not only sustaining through the years, and the last few years have been like nothing else, and even the whole approach of this church has been like nothing else that's in this area. So for the church to not only maintain but to grow and be healthy, you know, what are the main factors? And really it comes down to this one principle. You know, as we celebrate 43 years, what is the one principle that defines or drives all of that? And that is to leave it better than you found it. That's been the, you know, Rick just said it in a prayer. That's our goal every week, that you leave the services better than when you came in. And that really, that's the approach. That's the mark of a disciple. That's the mark of maturity, that we leave life and situations, relationships, every aspect of life better than the condition in which we first found it or encountered it. And so I want to read from 2 Peter chapter 1. These few verses that are going to kind of set up what we're talking about, and then we're just going to share. We're going to share what that looks like, because we need real-world concrete examples, and we've all experienced it as individuals and as a church, what that looks like, the doing the hard work of leaving it better than when we found it. Because, you know, I think we live in a culture that is increasingly saying, that's not my responsibility, it's somebody else's responsibility. That's not my job, that's somebody else's job. You know, whether it's, you know, whether it's the cause of all our ills, well, that's somebody else's fault, that's my parents' fault, it's my spouse's fault, it's my teacher's fault, it's the politician's fault, whatever. You know, there's all that, and then there's the, that's not my job. You know, that's for somebody else to do. And I'll share about that, how that Lord worked in my heart. But let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 4. For by these, Peter means his God's divine power and the knowledge of him. Those are the two things. So, I'll just set this up by saying, you know, this is not about anything that we accomplish on our own. Our own human efforts fall short. We understand that over all of this is God's grace and his mercy. Those are the two things that we receive that enable us then to do and to move forward. But there is a clear expectation from God for us to then do something with that and not just sit back and go, okay, you know, God, just, you know, I don't have to do anything else here. I don't have to lift a finger for the rest of my life, and you're just going to make my life all sunshine and rainbows. That's not how it works, okay? So by his divine power and the knowledge of him, what? God has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So by the knowledge of him and by his divine power, we are able to be set free from sin and to take on his character. Now, for this very reason also, sorry, we can read on, that now was part of the scripture there. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. Now, let me pause here while I'm on this. That word there, supply, everybody see that word supply? Supply, moral, okay? I'm not going to bore you with the Greek translation or pronunciation, but what it means in the original language is to orchestrate, like an orchestra. How many of you have been to the orchestra? Okay? Or you've at least heard an orchestra, okay? Right? And what, you have a whole selection of all these different instruments, and any one piece by itself, if it plays its part, you might hear it and go, well, that sounds a little odd if you heard that just the violin or just the percussion or just the cello by itself. But when you put it all together and you layer it, layer upon layer upon layer, you get this beautiful, incredible sound, right? That's what Peter's saying here. You have all these individual pieces, but they can't be by themselves. You have to layer them and add them together so they work together to create this beautiful result. All right. So moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, verse 7, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we leave life better than we found it? How do we encounter situations in life and then increase their productivity, make them better? By all these qualities that are increasing that make us neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. That's how it works, right? So you had some notes here on that, Rick, and I put it up on the slide if you wanted to talk about. Actually, this is my note, sorry. This is that attitude adjustment, that whole mindset of moving from a consumer to an owner, from immaturity to maturity, from a mere convert of Christ to a true disciple, I would say is the hallmark and has been the hallmark of this church for 43 years. It's what allows us to grow and expand, and will continue to be so because that's what God's word says to do. You know, you hear me often say that God wants us to grow up. Let's say that nice and loud. God wants me to grow up, right? Ephesians 4:15. And so this is the mindset. You know, in 1 Peter 1 there, he says, with all diligence. It's something that we have to be intentional about in pursuing. It doesn't just happen by, now I'm just coasting downstream here. We can just take it easy. We talked about it when we got together. I can just take it easy from here on. But no, we never reach that point in life where we take it easy, but we're always searching, always seeking, always adding to the things that the Lord has established so that we can continue to grow and expand. So now, Rick, you had a few thoughts on that that you made in talking about it. About 1 Peter chapter 1 and that whole part of it.
All right.
So you're up.
I'm up. Okay. Oops. Could you go back to that leaves us neither useless nor fruit nor unfruitful? Yeah, there it is. Every time I read that, I have to chuckle. Neither useless nor unfruitful. Hmm. I mean, why couldn't he just say, so these will cause you to become useful and fruitful? Mm-hmm. Neither useless nor unfruitful. It's kind of like my buddy Al Hall. He's make a great shot. He says, well, that's not too horrible, right? but, you know, when I'm leaving things better than we found them, you know, that's what Cliff has said he wanted to talk about today. One of the things I've said over and over again is that when we come into here, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. Let me start it out this way, saying, from day one, and we put an ad in the paper, I was amazed when somebody showed up. And I'm Donnie chuckles. Like, yeah, I can. And I'm still amazed that folks find their way all the way up here in the boonies. And it's so humbling. Like, every time I walk down from the house, I'm like, God, these folks have come because they want to get something from you. They need you. They need something to, and you've brought them here, so you want to put something in them that makes them leave a whole lot better than when they first came. Otherwise, they wouldn't make the trip. They wouldn't take the elevation. They wouldn't do it. And so, you know, it's just been a very humbling thing to me because I'm still amazed that you guys come. I'm still amazed that anybody's here. But it shows me that, first of all, people really want to be in touch with the presence of God. Mm-hmm. They really want to know Him, and they want to know His ways. And secondly, the thing that God has impressed upon me from the very beginning, was I just cried out, God, I'm done with the whole church business. And then he said, well, Lord, he said, well, Rick, what do you want? And I said three things. And the first thing was, I want to be a part of a church where people really do love each other. And that has been such a journey of trying to figure out what that means. But what I've come to believe that it means is that if you love someone, your interaction with them is going to be one that makes them leave that interaction glad that they had it and better than before it happened. One of the things that really touched me this past, I guess it was 2 years ago, it might have been last year, is my one grandson, Cole, they had an essay they had to write, Who's a Leader That You Respect? And, I mean, I just cried when I read his essay, that it's my grandpop, and is a leader that I respect because he respects everybody. How did you put that?
I know, you should have brought it.
I should have brought it. But everybody, he treats everybody with the same respect. It's something to that. And I never saw myself that way. But when I read that, you know, leaving things better than when we found them, I would replace things with people. Leave people better than when you found them. Because we all want love. We need love. We need to be respected. We need to feel like we have value. I mean, that's God's whole thing. He came to show us that he loved us because we had value to him. And so I believe, like even our very first Sunday, you know, I stayed downstairs with the adults, and Nancy took the children upstairs to the bathroom because it was the second largest room in the building, in the cottage in Bowman's down there. But from day one, when we talked about God wanting us to start a church, we said, well, we're gonna treat the kids better, if you know, at least as good, if not better, than we do the adults. We're gonna give them the very best that we possibly can. Because Jesus, if you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so I just think that when, you know, and Cliff used the term owner versus renter, or consumer versus owner. And there was a point in time, because from the very start, we had a great big sign up here that said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his son." Then on the bottom side, it said, "Go therefore in all the world and make disciples." And from the very beginning, my goal was to try to invest my life as best I could into a few people who came to Christ, and just kind of help them understand. And I was learning too. Let's grow together. Let's learn together what it means to know God's word and try to apply it in our lives. And so my goal was never to have a big church. My goal was to make disciples. And to make disciples, I felt like I had to do what Jesus did. He took 12. Hopefully all 12 make it through. They don't. But anyway, that's the diversion, isn't it? But anyway, you know, to become a disciple, we have to have somebody invest in our life. We have to have somebody who'll come alongside of us and give us advice and can talk to us and show us the way. And one of the things that motivated me to retire was I got eight grandsons and one granddaughter. Nancy looked at me to make sure I got the number right. But I want to invest in my grandkids. I want to have time. Before that, I did not have time, you know, and I hated to say, "I'm sorry, I can't do that right now because I got to prepare a message." Or, "I can't do that right now because I've got to go to a meeting. I can't do that right now. I got to go visit somebody." You know, and so, but I digress. I do that a lot, by the way. But I know from past, you guys like when I digress. You're like, "That's what we really like, the good stuff." But, you know, how many thousands of hours have I sat in counseling, people arguing and biting, you know, and I'm like, you know, didn't when you took the vow, didn't you vow to make this other person's life better than when you found it? You know? And yet you're tearing each other apart. You know, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, I had a revelation one time about Nancy. Jesus just said, "Rick, you got to treat Nancy better than you would treat me." Oh, okay. I'm not sure what that means, but I'm going to try. And, you know, the other day she wanted me to go skiing with her. She said, "Would you go skiing with me?" I said, "Nancy, I would die for you. Of course I'll go skiing." Aww. "With you." Aww. But that's true. You know, we've come to the conclusion, if God put us together, then there's absolutely no way we would ever say no to each other. Of course it's yes. Why? Because my goal is to make you a better person than I found you. The other thing I found in making disciples and investing in people's lives, what I wanted to say was, At some point, if you're going to grow up, you're going to have to make a mental switch from being a consumer to being an investor. An investor puts their time and money in things that increase in value rather than decrease in value. And there's nothing that increases in value more than people. If you're married, there's nothing that can affect the quality of your life more than the person that you're married to. I should at least hear one amen. Right. Don't you think? Yeah. Everybody's like, what, did I make you go to sleep or what?
You always taught me that the message where you don't get the response is the ones that's actually moving the needle. So it means, means you're hitting a little close to home, I think.
Yeah. The stink eye.
Simple but not easy, right?
Simple but not easy, yeah. Yeah, all of God's Word. And if, you know, the whole Bible, in fact, I brought my Bible, forgot to bring it up here. The whole Bible is simply instruction on how to make life better than you found it.
That's right.
The Proverbs, I read them every day. I read my proverb every day. Proverbs 14. What did Proverbs 14:1 say today? A wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one tears it down. And I have written right beside it, Nancy. Why? Because she makes it better than we found it, better than she found it. It's, you know, that's what life is about. A fool does not do that. A fool tears down that which is important.
That's right.
I think I said enough.
I found it interesting. Since you brought up Proverbs 14. I read it this morning too.
Oh, okay.
And is it verse 4 just jumped out at me like I never saw it before. It says, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But there's great strength in, you know, there's great
increase
in the strength of an ox. And that just kind of hit me like I wrote in my Bible, you know, leaving things better than you found it means sometimes you have to shovel the crap out that's in life.
I have written beside that verse, marriage. I mean, how many wives think, boy, my husband's a lot of work, right? Any wives think that? There you go. But the increase is worth the effort.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. The ox has great strength. Hoo-ah!
Yep. Don't give up.
Yes, honey, I can bring the groceries in. I can do that.
Yeah.
But I thought that went along with our approach
absolutely.
You know, again, do we want to just sit back and, you know, I want to talk a little bit about what that's like, you know, that idea of coasting, you know, like we reach this pinnacle, okay, God, we've done enough, we hit enough check boxes now I'm good, now I can just sit back and relax, and that's not God's way, because that's not how we are, because he's always revealing the next thing then, and so that means having to do the work, you know, and sure, the manger looks nice because it's clean. But what benefit of it? It's just an empty manger. Then there's nothing in it, you know. So we're constantly having to get in there and roll up the sleeves and do the work, you know. And I can relate to, you know, some of the things that Rick shared. And I'd like us to share, you know, maybe some of the specific examples about, you know, what does that look like? And I've shared many times the complete obliviousness I had to what it meant to make a marriage really work, you know. And I've known Jenny almost my entire life, okay, all the important parts of it for sure, and we've been best friends, we were best friends for years, for 10 years before we got married, and now we're married 25 plus years, so we, you know, we have spent a lot of time together, and there is no one else in the world that I would rather spend time with than Jenny, and yet I had no idea really what that meant to live together and work together and be united together, you know, so, I was famous for, well, that's somebody else's job. And here's the thing. If we have that approach in one area of our life, it's rarely contained to just that area then. It applies to everything. And I think somebody called me out on it. I would think I was famous about going into a movie theater, you know, and we watch a movie, and then when I'm done, you know, like, oh, yeah, leave the popcorn on the floor, leave the soda in the thing, leave the napkins, because that's their job to come clean it up. You know, and so... I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, but to say that this is the mentality that has to happen, that has to change over time. You know, whether it's me sitting in the living room with my feet up playing a video game while Jenny's doing dishes or trying to clean, you know, and I'll go, oh, well, I can't hear what's going on, so I'll just turn the TV up a little louder. No, right.
That was a long time ago.
That was at least 3 weeks, you know, so...
No.
You know, those in the early days, sure. But we have lots of conversations and roll the sleeves up and get in there and shovel the muck out a little bit to figure out why is it that I wouldn't say yes? What is it within me that is really self-centered that says I don't want to do that? Why wouldn't I? You know, the whole reason I got married was to spend time with this person, so why wouldn't I help her so that we could spend more time together, right? Rather than saying, well, you go do that. You know, and so that approach over time has come to this place where now, yeah, you know, I go to the men's room at church and go, hey, I can leave this better than I found it. So when you begin to develop that mindset and allowing God to work in our hearts, it carries over and it touches every aspect of our lives. And so whether that's our physical health or our financial health, and Lord knows I've made a ton of horrific financial decisions by overspending and spending on the wrong things. And when I was younger, that led into a state that was not better than we found it, right? Now, it's taken a lot of work to get to the place where we are. And Jenny, you're going to talk about that in a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so, but it takes, and it's this constant awareness and this constant discipline to say, I'm going to make this choice because I want the outcome, whether that's short-term or long-term, really, to be better than where I am right now. So I'll throw
in here.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, yeah. It's really interesting, and it makes me chuckle a little bit to hear Cliff talking about this stuff. Because I can remember, thinking about, and actually, God impressed upon me that I should throw the mantle over to him. And my first response kind of was like, Lord, he's still kind of immature. I mean, he plays video games a lot. and it was this whole, you know, you did have this kind of a habit of not being an owner but a renter. You agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
And so that was a real concern for me. And so as I would go to the Lord about it, you know, and he, you know, I just felt like the Lord would say, well, that's just immaturity as he spends time with me. He's going to grow out of that. And that's the one thing I want to say to all of us when we talk about, you know, like, I'm amazed that I'm sitting here. I'm amazed that anybody wants to hear anything that I say. But when people say that they do, I have to say it's only because I have spent time with the Lord in his word. And so you become. And I am still becoming. And I know some of you look at me and say, wow, Rick, you're 71 years old. Like, you're really on the downslide now. But truth is, I'm still working on it as hard as I ever did in terms of becoming the person that God wants me to be, right? Brighter till the noonday sun. And so it's not that we can say, hey, come on, folks, leave things better than you found them. It's like I couldn't tell that to Cliff. But what I can say is, if you'll spend time in God's word every day and be honest and authentic with him, you will become better and better every day. The light will shine brighter and brighter.
Yep.
And you will be amazed what comes as a result of that.
Absolutely.
Amen, Kevin. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for the record, I was having the same conversation with God.
Yeah.
Arguing with him that he had the wrong guy because I'm not Rick. I'm not any of you. You know, I know who I am and I'm not that. So, God, you got the wrong guy, so go look somewhere else. So, yeah, absolutely. That's a great segue to turn into Nancy. You wanted to talk about God's word.
I thought it was interesting when Rick said, you know, that he thought Cliff was immature. For the record.
That's the pot calling the kettle black, right?
No, but for the record, really, and this is the way God works. In reality, I was 24 and Rick was 28 when God called us to start this church. Now, were we immature? We didn't think we were.
I knew everything.
Yeah.
About everything.
Yeah, but, God called us, and we had to do it. Mm-hmm. And I often think of Mary and Joseph when, you know, the angel told them they were going to have the Son of God. People thought they were crazy when they said it, just like people told us we were crazy when we said we were going to start a church. But we had to because God called us to do it. And, you know, there was no way out of it. We didn't know I mean, God didn't show us what the next 43 years were going to be like, thank goodness, because we would have been like, nope, God, I'm out of here. But he doesn't let you alone when he calls you to do something. So if God's calling you to do something, you know, really, spend some time with God and get it straight. You know, we knew lots of people that said, oh, we're going to start a church, but the calling wasn't there. The calling had to be there. And, you know, God kind of shielded us from lots of things that we were going to experience. But, you know, we have a history. Everybody here has a history, right? And your history has brought you to where you are today. As in the church, the history of our church has brought us to, you know, what Rick's first thing was, I just want to be a part of a church where people love each other. Mm-hmm. And that's where we feel we are today. You know, God's mm-hmm. brought us to that point. And, you know, I mean, I reflect back on some things, a lot of things I try to forget, but at one point, I don't know if the church had been going for 10 years or what it was, but we thought, you know, we did a little survey because we wanted to see what was our average age of people that came to church, not counting the kids. We all had a lot of kids. And so there were a lot of kids here, probably as much more than adults, but our average age was 35 years old. And that, you know, so there were a lot of people in our age group that maybe didn't think we were crazy and came along and became a part of the church. How about it, Rayanne and Donnie? And Donna back there, I know they were all a part of that. And, you know, and now God has just built this church. And Rick's first thing to God was, I'm not starting a church. If I start a church, God, it's your church. You're building it. And that has been in the front of us all these 43 years. God, you're building the church. And, you know, I know God has great, great, great things in store for the church, you know, going forward. But as he has us to this place today, bringing people in that need to hear the word, bringing people in that, you know, that maybe need the friendships. There's so many friendships that develop here, and we're just so excited to see that. But, you know, back to leaving things better than they were, I have to think about, first about myself, and not being selfish, but I know it has to start with me. How can I leave things better without looking at what can I do better? And, you know, to me, it's I want to get to know God better. I want to hear his voice more. How do I do that? And I've been doing that for years, you know, every year saying, God, I want to know you more. I want to, you know, but we all know that God gave us a gift in giving us his word, because that's how we get to know God more. And we can't get to know God without opening his word. Mm-hmm. And so there's lots of ways that we can get to know God better through his word. Some people say, well, okay, this year I'm going to read the Bible from front to back, and that's great. Or I'm going to pick a verse, and every month I'm going to write that verse, you know, and I'm going to memorize. I'm going to get that in my heart. And because Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So, you know, it's getting that word in our hearts, and it builds. It's constantly building in our lives. And, you know, for some people it's just, you know, I'm gonna go to church every week and I'll, you know, hear the word. But there's one common denominator in that, and that is to get to know God, you got to get in the word, because that's where God reveals himself to us. And so getting in the word, how can I do that more this year? You know, there's, and I know as soon as I say that, I know there's an enemy out there who's going to do everything he can to keep me away from God's word. Mm-hmm. Same as all of you. And a lot of times, you know, it's good things. The kids are busy. They got sports. They got school. They got, you know, it's lots of good. I got meetings at church. I got, you know, all this stuff to do. I don't have time to spend in the word. Or maybe it's social media. Oh, I got to check out social media, Facebook, whatever, before.
Marketplace.
Yeah, marketplace. Yeah. You know, so he will try to keep us out of God's word. Because he knows that's where we get to know God. So for me, to get to know God better. I have, and it's taken time. I mean, I've been there. We raised four daughters. You know, we've been through it all. Piano lessons, sports, the whole bit. Being busy, meetings at church, being out every night of the week. But God takes that and he builds it. And now I'm at a place where I say, God, you know what? All I want to do is get in your word and get to know you better and hear you throughout the day. People say, how do you hear God? You know, well, the Holy Spirit within me brings thoughts and talks to me and says, you know, what about this? I still work one day a week as a nurse, only because I love it and I'm not ready to give it up. So I'm semi-retired. But, you know, every time I go to work, before I go, I always pray and say, God, I know, I work for you, not for man. And please use me today. Use me. And you know what? God speaks to us. You know, he'll say to me, okay, this is the person. Like, they might bring something up. I just met somebody this week who had come to our church and you know, kind of fell away. And she's like, I need to come back. And, you know, I shared with her the website and how she could watch live stream. And, you know, God uses us. God speaks to us. And he says, this is it. You know, this is your moment. Share me with somebody. That's how God speaks to me, through his word. And so spending time in the word every day is it gets me more in touch with him. Mm-hmm. And as I said before, it's a gift. God gave us that word as a gift. You know, do you ever think about the Old Testament? They didn't have a Bible like we have. They didn't, like, take a Bible and open it and read it. They might have had stone tablets. I don't know. Scrolls and things. It wasn't easy. We have it pretty easy. I think pretty much every household that's represented here has a Bible. And if you don't, our ushers Alicia would love to give you a Bible. But, you know, it's so easy, but yet it's so hard because we know that Satan is going to try to keep us from reading his word. So for me, personally, I get up in the morning. I get up earlier than I need to just spend some time in the word and to journal. We talk about journaling, but journal my thoughts because God gives me a word through those thoughts a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what I want to do better. And I'll probably say that every year because we never reach the end, you know, until we go to be with Jesus. There's always something to learn. And when you read the word, I read the same verse and write it every day for a month. It's so neat how every day God gives you a new thought about that word. And he teaches us through it. We have a women's group here called Hidden Hearts, and I know a lot of you are in it. We have about 500 ladies in it, not just in our church, but across the world, because people say, hey, can my friend join? Can my, you know, sister join? So there's lots of people in it. It's just an email group where I send out a verse every month. We write it, journal it, you know, and share our thoughts. We have a Facebook page where we can share our thoughts. And if you want to know more about that, we give you your first journal free, and I have them back at the Get Connected table. You do have to get me your email address or your home address because we'll send that out. I prefer email, of course, because, again, stamps are going up this month again. but if you have an email, that's the best way. But anyway, I invite you to join our group, Hidden Hearts. It's based on the verse that I mentioned, Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we've been doing it for about 14 years. Can I spout out 160-some verses to you? No. But I've journaled them, meditated on them, studied them for a whole month. And it's in there. It's in my journal. And I can always go back and read them. And, I do know more verses than I did 14 years ago.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that was a challenge God gave me, you know, to do that. So, and I just invited the ladies in the church to join me in that. So if you're interested, stop by the Get Connected table. I'll be back there after the service if you have any questions for me about that. But, you know, that's what I want to do in 2024 is just get to know God better. I know there's so much more to get to know about God. And I know it's all in there in the Word. I brought my Bible down this morning. I said to Cliff, I'm not sure if I'm going to use my Bible, but I had to bring it. I can't come to church without my Bible. So it's sitting right there. But, you know, it's just that God will continually speak to me, speak to you about how to get to know him better. And it's a work in progress. It doesn't happen overnight, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And if I fail one day and I don't get up and I don't have time, I'll say right away, God, please forgive me. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep doing it. And I write in my journal, and then I have a room in my house I call my study, has all my favorite things in there, and that's where I spend my quiet time, and I have a big window that overlooks the mountain, the ski area, and, it's beautiful. And after I journal, I go to my window, and I'll say, good morning, Jesus, and just look out there and just talk to him. and it's just how he's come more and more alive to me. So, I just speak to God. Ask him how you can get to know him better. It's there. It's in his word.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I love the book of Philippians. Just the whole book is awesome, but in Philippians 1:6, it says, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And God began a good work in you. And I think about how when our children are born, a child starts as a seed, basically, and grows and grows and grows. And as a parent, you can look at your child and say, wow, you grew up so much. I can't believe how tall you're getting. And the kids are like, Mom, they roll their eyes, whatever, at you. But that's how God sees us. When we come to him, it's like that seed that he planted. And as we grow, he loves every stage. So wherever you are, if you've never even asked Jesus to come into your life and you don't even know what we're talking about right now, just say, God, I know you made me. And Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to be my leader. And he loves every stage with you. He loves that journey that Cliff and me and Nancy and Rick were on from the time it started. He likes to be on that with you. And what he started in you, he is faithful to complete, but we have to allow him. And that this morning I had our music team and then the congregation just say, Lord, I give you everything I'm trying to hold onto, and I ask you to fill me with everything that you want for me. And God wants good things for your life, and he has good things in store. So Philippians chapter 2 is also one of my favorites, where it talks about making Paul's joy complete and God's joy complete by dwelling in unity with one another, thinking of ourselves less, not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to, and taking on the attitude of Jesus, which is humility. Just be humble before God. I know I don't have it all together. I know that I fail every day at least once, and I can just say, God, forgive me, just help me. I ask you for your grace. I can run boldly before that throne of grace where you offer help in my time of need. And, over the years, I think we could sit up here for weeks and weeks and talk about what God's taught us over the years and the way that we've seen ourselves change, and or that we don't even notice a change until we go back in our journals and say, wow, 10 years ago, look what bothered me, and that wouldn't bother me anymore, and look what I was so worried about, and look what God has done. And one of the things that I love numbers, and I've always loved math and numbers and like figuring out money and counting and all those types of things. And the one thing I've recognized is over the years through the church and through us and praying and asking God to bless us and to help us financially, I've just seen God provide in amazing ways. And the way he's provided for this church, and we've shared before about the parking lot where we, asked somebody, could we borrow, the money to finish the parking lot? The church gave $200,000 between everybody. I don't even know how that was possible. This guy gave us $200,000 to pay back and then forgave the debt. And I remember me and Rick and Lee might have even been there. We were bawling. We were crying, like, God forgave this debt. Like, he's amazing. And one of the things I've learned over the years is trusting God even more and more to provide, financially especially. But in Malachi, it says that we can test God with our finances. We can test him. And he doesn't tempt us. Oh, the Lord's tempting me to buy something. He will never tempt you. But he will test you and give you opportunities to say no to temptation, give you opportunities to say yes to him. And generosity has always been very important to me because I love to bless people. I love to help people. I love to meet needs. It's just something in my heart. And for many years, I've prayed and said, God, I ask you for seed to sow. Second Corinthians talks about, in chapter 9, it talks about that God provides seed to the sower. So when you give to God, he provides seed back. If you plant one sunflower seed and you get a sunflower, you get hundreds of seeds in that sunflower. And that's how God works. He gives us one seed, we sow it, and he gives us more and more. And sometimes we don't see that in just money, but we see it in our time, and we see it in who we are. And one thing that God has really impressed on me over the years is that not just 10% of my money belongs to God, but 100% of my money belongs to God. Not just 10% of my time belongs to Him, but 100%. All that I am and all that I have is God's because it's from God's, from God. It's from His hand. He blesses us, and He will give to us as we steward well what He's given us. And have we always stewarded well? No. We learned over time, and I praise God for Pastor Rick's messages on money, and I praise God for Dave Ramsey and how his financial, you know, direction has really changed our lives. But it takes time, and it doesn't happen overnight. But we often see growth after a long time. And over the summer, I told Cliff about this picture. Over the summer, I planted wildflowers in our veggie garden because we all know that Cliff's veggie gardens don't always do the best. Our veggie gardens, right? Out in the garden with Cliff, right? So Cliff would like use the vegetable garden, and it wasn't for us to do at this point. So we threw some wildflowers out there, and with all the rain we had over the summer and the sun and the rain, boy, did those things get tall, like really tall. And I said, wow, look how tall those wildflowers got. And I didn't even realize how tall they were till Bella went out and stood by them, and they were twice her size. And sometimes we don't realize how big God has helped us to grow until we compare it with our old self. You know, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. And we challenge you, I double dog dare you, to give God and recognize that everything you have is from Him. Your kids, your spouse, your home. No matter how big or how small that home is. Whether you feel like you have peanuts in the bank or you have a lot to give. All of it is from God. And if you will just trust Him with all of it, He will help you. God, how much do you want me to give? How much, Lord, how do you want me to set up my finances? How do you want me to be a blessing? And I love to bless people, and it started when I was 12 years old, and I can still remember this moment. And I like to talk about pivotal moments, that I think there are defining moments in our lives where we've said yes to God, mm-hmm. and we're like, okay, Lord. And I remember being in one of the ladies' room stalls in the back, and it looked like stalls, actually, at the time. It looked like a little barn. It wasn't the bathroom we have now. It was smaller than that. And I was 12, and one of my friends from youth group was in the bathroom with me, and I had $2 in my pocket. And I could say it was probably one of the first times the Lord spoke to me. I was in the bathroom. It was one of the first times the Lord spoke to me. And He said, I want you to give her your $2. What's $2? But it was everything I had at the moment. So I gave it to her. And she's like, oh, thanks. Stuck in her pocket. She probably didn't even think anything of it. But that moment stands out to me as the first moment that God spoke to me to give. And over the years, the Lord has increased that number by a lot. And yet, Cliff and I look over our finances oftentimes and we're like, how did God do this? Because you cannot ever outgive God. I dare you to try to outgive God. Because you will give Him what seems like a lot, and He will somehow bring it back to you. And this morning I was thinking of that song we used to sing. You got to keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's going to come back home on every wave. You got to keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's going to come back home on every wave. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over.
We had the hand motions.
Soon it's going to come back home on every wave. We used to sing that. Welcome to...
That was unrehearsed, folks.
That was unrehearsed. We didn't know that was coming out. But it just made me think, you just keep on casting out your time, casting out your money to the Lord, casting out your resources to Him, and He will bless you. You know, I said to Cliff the other day, when I look at that, the way that our money used to be and the way it is now, it's not where we want to be yet. It's not where we were. And I said, okay, where's our money going? Where's our money going? And when I looked at it, it was like, oh, we're giving it. We're giving it. Like that and that little bit and that, you know, that tip to the guy that pumped my gas and that tip to that person and that blessing over there. And it's like, wow, And I'm sure Rick and Nancy can attest to that. You're just going, God, how do you do this? He does it when we're diligent and we don't give up. You know, just let God do it. So I know we have communion this morning, so I'm okay to share this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I will share with you a prayer that I pray all the time, and I write in my journal, and I've been writing it for years. I always say, Father God, I ask you to help me to be an excellent daughter to you. I ask you to help me be an excellent wife for Cliff. I ask you to help me to be an excellent mom for Bella. And I ask you to help me to be an excellent pastor to our church. And I write that so often. Jesus, I just want to be a blessing to other people. I want to be the best version of me that I can be. I want to leave someone else's life better than it was before. And Lord, I need your help. And last week, my daughter and I had a discussion. And we had a misunderstanding of each other's hearts. She read something on my face that wasn't true. I read something on her expression that wasn't true. And we had a great conversation that led us to be able to talk about our hearts with each other. And parents, your kids teach you too. It's not just us raising them. They help to raise us. Children help to polish us and help us see flaws in ourselves that we didn't see before. So let your kids speak. You know, and I've shared this before, I will never send my daughter to her room. I'll never send her out of my presence and say, I want you to go to your room. Get out of here. You know, I don't want to see you. I would never do that because God doesn't do that to us. When we mess up, what does he say? Come boldly before my throne of grace. So anyway, we have this family picture on our wall from one of our trips. And it's Cliff and me and Bella, if you can't see it. And the other night I was home by myself and I walked up to the picture because I was praying and I said, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be everything that I feel that I need to be. And I looked at Cliff and I looked at Bella and I said, God, help me to be an excellent wife for Cliff. Help me, Jesus, to just encourage this man to be everything you've designed him to be. Help me to be a good mom to Bella. Help me to raise her to know you and love you and serve you. And I just kept looking back and forth at Cliff and Bella. And suddenly God just turned my head and I looked at myself and he said, you got to give that person grace. You got to give that person grace. So I'm encouraging you, if you feel like, well, I blew it already too many times, to grow. Give yourself grace, because that's what God gives you. You run boldly before him, it's as if, justification, as if it never happened. And we start with the Lord fresh. That's what I encourage you to do today. Just give yourself grace and let God help you grow.
Amen.
Amen.
So, I would just say let your goal for 2024 be to know Jesus and his ways, allowing him to make your life and the lives of those around you, not things, people.
Yeah.
People around you, better than you found it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to come to the Lord's Supper this morning. Music team, you guys want to come on up here as we do that? So usually we celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month. Did y'all take communion at home last week? But since it's the anniversary of the church, we thought we wanted to maintain this, because I don't think there's a better way to let this be a commitment than that we're going to stand behind or really commit ourselves to by observing the Lord's Supper. And certainly when Jesus went to the cross, he was performing, if you will, the ultimate act of making life better than he found it. Everything would change as a result of his death on the cross, his blood, the payment for our sins, and then his resurrection from the dead. That's the power to live the transformed life. So before he did that, he shared a meal with his friends. He took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. He took the cup. He said, take and drink from the cup. This is the blood of the new covenant, the new agreement, the new contract, my blood for the forgiveness of sins for all mankind forever, for all those who would ask and receive it. The Apostle Paul says, as often as you eat this meal and you drink from this cup, you proclaim his death until he returns again. We know that as a result of what Jesus has done, and that if we call upon the name of the Lord, that we will be saved, and that we are guaranteed then the ultimate better outcome than what we have right now. Going to heaven is far better than being here on earth. There will be no sickness, no disease, no darkness, none of it in that time. He's done all the hard work for us. It's not about what we do. All we have to simply do is ask, receive it, and believe. And so before we come to the Lord's Supper, I'm going to ask everyone here to close their eyes for a minute. This is your personal invitation. If you have never before said yes to Jesus, if you don't have the assurance of eternal life with him, but you want it, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, look at me, and I'll agree with you right here and now, and we'll pray. Anybody here making that decision for the first time? If you're watching online and you're watching this, well, I don't care where you are, reach out to us in the chat box or message us and we'll get with you. Second part then is this. If you say you believe, you know, will you commit to letting this be the year? Whether maybe it's the first time you're doing it or a continuation of what you've been doing. To leave life better than you found it. To leave the people in your life better than you found them. If you're willing to make that commitment, that decision, then just raise your hand. Thank you. Would you all pray? You all pray with me as we pray this out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for loving me, giving your life for me, paying for my sin, and coming back from the dead. So I don't have to die, Lord. I can live with you forever. And I look forward to that day, Lord. Heaven is far better than earth. But until then, Lord, your grace and your mercy are enough for me. As I follow your ways, as I listen for your voice, as you lead me in all areas, you cause, Lord, my life, every part of my life, every relationship I have, to be better than I found it. Thank you for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.